If you want a little wisdom, listen to Rabbi Brian. Rabbi Brian!
Hi, Rabbi Brian, Rabbi Brian's Garden. This is episode number 8 of season 1. This is live. Give me a second. And we had two topics that I wanted us to talk about today. One was spiritual fitness, which is always a favorite. And the other one is about priorities. So let me see who is out there in the interwebs land. There are people, I found out there are scads of people who listen to this afterwards. I know the last one had 23 folks within a week who were listening to it, so I welcome all of those people. I got my regulars, Alex and Emily, who are here with me live in the Zoom room. And if you're on the Facebook, you can go up to the Zoom room and you can find Rabbi Brian's Garden there. It is December 11th, 2018, and I'm going to recommend, well, I'm going to do it for me, of taking a breath of air. And let's begin. Welcome, welcome. Welcome to everyone who's watching. I see Brian Burke and Kathleen are there, and Jody Stancliffe is there. They're all in Facebook land. What it's very amusing to me, but an interesting thing is there are different levels to how comfortable people are talking about their spiritual lives. And I don't mean this with any hierarchy to it, but there are people who want to be face to face and conversing with me. And there are people who are fine just watching on Facebook, and there are people who are fine just listening in. And I get that. I get that. It's often in any religious service there is, in any religious service, the first row is always empty in the second row. And I think of it kind of that way here, is that it's a little scary to be talking about this spiritual stuff. So I'm glad that you're here in any way that you are here to be involved. I picked up some memes, and that's for our second part about priorities, really, but I'm going to bring them up here because there's this meme that goes around, and it's called, you had one job, you had one thing to do, and there, people in the internet will post pictures of something that was kind of amusing. So here's an image of a double yellow line where one of the lines is just going completely horribly to the side. Here's another of a remote control where the left button is printed with the word right on it and the right button is printed with the word left. Here's a telephone pole that was put smack in the middle of the sidewalk. And the idea is, here's another one. Somebody did a paving job, which if you have OCD would just drive you crazy because they laid all the bricks perfectly except for one. Here's a ramp, delightfully not on the door. And these are just any, you can see here, here's a sign that says, please slow drively.
I like it.
Here's one that says, come on milk, you had one job, and it's a bowl of cinnamon life cereal where the milk is just outside of the bowl for reasons we just can't understand. Here's somebody filling up a convenience.
I see it, Alex.
Emily and Alex can see it, and whoever else is there live can see. And then this is I would like to believe this is the one that started it. It's a stormtrooper sitting at a table, his hands in his head, or her hands in his head, because as we know, there was one job for the stormtroopers to do, which was to find those droids. And this is the poor stormtrooper who couldn't find the droids. Okay, so I wanted to start with that with a little bit of amusement. Oh, and I see Gina's here and Sari is here. Welcome. I'm glad you guys are here. So let's talk a little bit about spiritual fitness. And I think, you know, we have physical strength, how hard you can bench press, or how fast you can run a mile, is physical strength. And we know that physical strength, it atrophies. And hold on, I'm getting a little sound quality issue going on there. Hold on one sec. That there's physical strength. And then there's also emotional strength, right? How are you willing to go through a difficult time? And that's an emotional strength, And then this spiritual fitness. I keep promoting religion outside the box is here to promote spiritual fitness. Well, what exactly is that? What is spiritual fitness? It's how well your prayers are answered by God? I always thought this was such a funny thing that in rabbinical school, I took a prayer class. And what an absurd thing. Was a congregation not going to hire me because I got a B plus in prayer? It was a pass-fail course, by the way, because I think the powers that be knew that's showing that you got a D in prayer would look pretty funny to a future employer. But spiritual fitness, we could say someone has spiritual fitness because they have certain qualities. And I'm going to ask, look, I see Michael Adam Latz has just joined. Hello, Rebbe. And Gina's just gone to video. Hey, good to see you. And Fred is there. And Raymond Torres, and wonderful. And I'm going to ask you, what would be a sign of spiritual fitness? Somebody who is spiritually fit should be less likely to blank than someone who lacks spiritual fitness. Somebody who is spiritually fit, is less likely to blank. Oh, this is live, right? So what would you put in? People who lack spiritual fitness would be less likely or more likely to what? I think I might have said it different ways, which as an instructor is terribly confusing. So let me restate that in one way. People who have spiritual fitness would probably not blank. Let me say it that way. So people with spiritual fitness, if you have spiritual fitness, you probably won't blank. And somebody give me like some sign from the universe. I can see a bunch of you, and I see you on Facebook Live, which is on about a 12-second delay. So you got to type really fast there to catch up. Oh, that reminds me of a joke. Bartender says, "We don't serve time travelers." And then a time traveler showed up. Okay, I thought that was kind of amusing, but I'm just going to leave that. That feels like it fell totally flat. I thank you for a little bit of smiles there. Not what I was going for, but we'll do it. And I see my sister is messaging me while I'm doing this. So hi. Yes, Sari, I see you. I'm glad that you're here. And yes, next time it would be nice if I had the link on the website, but I'm not ready for that. People who have spiritual fitness are less likely to. What do you got, Gina?
Lose hope.
People who are spiritually fit are less likely to lose hope. And I'm going to translate that lose hope. I'm going to say that they are less likely to lose hope. That's fantastic. Alex, what else you got? People who have spiritual fitness are less likely to
worry.
Are less likely to worry, which might be related to losing hope. People who have spiritual fitness are less likely to. What else we got? People with spiritual fitness are less likely to. I'm going to add one in. I'm going to say hate. Maybe. What else would you add into this list? People with spiritual fitness are less likely to
lose control.
Lose control.
Get angry.
They're less likely to lose control. Lose control and less likely to get angry. 50 points apiece. Everyone's winning so far. People with more spiritual fitness, let's go on the positive side now. People with more spiritual fitness will have more hope, will worry less, will hate less, possibly love more. People with spiritual fitness will be less angry and will be more controlled. Is there anything that someone with spiritual fitness has, they're born with. I mean, obviously, some people are born and they're better able to play soccer because they are born into a body that is whatever body type, and it's got the right agility and the right speed and strength to play soccer. How about spiritual fitness? Is this something that's innate, or is this something that can be cultivated? We often say patience is a virtue. And I think about all of the virtues, and all of the virtues, I'm not going to ask this as a question, I'm going to say it definitively, declaratively. All of the virtues, it doesn't matter how good you are at them, you can move yourself and better yourself. I think of it, instead of thinking of it as soccer, I think of it as singing. All of us can sing. Not all of us, I know there are exceptions, of course. Everyone can sing, but how often do we practice singing? And how can we expect ourselves to be really good at it if we don't practice it? And I can't remember who said it, and I sure wish I had looked this up before this talk. But it's the person who usually gets angry in 1.3 seconds who, on the day that they make it to not being angry for 1.4 seconds, that is the biggest of accomplishments. That spiritual fitness is something that we all have, it's internal, and that we can all work at. A dear friend of mine, internet friend, I've never actually met him, named Bart Campolo. He said of me once that I was kind of like the Richard Simmons of the spiritual world. He said the same way that Richard Simmons got out there and just encouraged people to exercise, even the people who didn't look like they belonged in a pair of shiny shorts and headband, that he wanted to encourage people to exercise no matter who they were. And Bart Campolo said this about me, and it took me a while to fully understand what he was saying. This is what I see myself as doing, is that my job is to encourage people, no matter where you are, even if you get angry after 1.3 seconds, to take a look at your spiritual life and say, I can do a little better than that. Just a little better than that. So in the virtue of patience, right? Patience is a virtue. Patience is a virtue, and I would continue the quote to say, patience is a virtue that anyone can learn. It's not so easy. Hold on a second. I see some typing going on Facebook. Ah, people who are more, oh, hi, Zach Shapiro. Good to see you. And Tilly is there. And to be happy, people who are more spiritual are happier. People who are more spiritual complain less. People who are more spiritual think less negative thoughts. Now, I think that's beautifully said. I don't think any of us are ever going to get to a point where we don't have a negative thought. But it goes to this story. It's a story that's often told as an American Indian story, but it's in other cultures as well. But let's give shout outs to native nations of this country and in Canada as well. And the story is that a grandfather is talking to a grandson. And the grandfather says, within us, there are two wolves, always the wolf of judgment and the wolf of compassion. And they're forever in this fighting at each other, compassion and judgment, compassion and judgment. They're fighting at each other all the time. And the grandfather says, my grandson, you must be careful always. And the grandson says, well, grandfather, which one of the two wolves wins? And the grandfather says, whichever one you feed. Whichever one you feed. There's a story in Jewish tradition that says that Elijah had an opportunity to talk with God. It's a very old midrash, and it says that Elijah asked God, God, what prayer do you pray yourself? That's an interesting question to ask. And what Elijah says, God's response was, was that I pray, this is God speaking for God's self, according to Elijah, according to Jewish tradition, that God prays, may my attribute of compassion always outweigh my attribute of righteousness. And I think that's for us too, to have spiritual fitness, to be spiritually whole, is to see that we can choose which one to feed. We talked last week or the week before about gratitude and how gratitude is the number of times you're thankful minus the number of times you complain. And you have a power within you today to be more thankful, actively, consciously more thankful, or unconsciously more critical. And whichever one you feed, you are going to wind up at the end of the day having fed that one. So spiritual fitness, it's there. All of us could have more hope, less worry. All of us can lose control a little less if we feed that, if we see it as something we want to do. Good. And I'm looking on the Facebook, and I got from Aunt Maureen, because that's how I remember her from the wedding that I did, and that's how she called herself, and she just wrote, "Makes sense." So I thank you for that. And by the way, lady, you still owe me $1. Because she gave, I promised her that I would say some shout out to her during the wedding ceremony if she gave me $1 afterwards. And you owe me $1, lady. Okay, good. Let's take a breath of air. Spiritual fitness. Any questions from the people who are with me live or the people on the 12-second time travel delay? Any questions or thoughts about this topic of spiritual fitness, of how can you be more spiritually fit? And I'll say, you know, this is part of religion outside the box, and part of the mission is, it's not for me to tell you exactly how to do that. I can give you the ideas like the gratitude, but I'm not going to tell you, you have to do this or you have to do that, because you're all autonomous adults. And you got this. Questions that we have at this point? I'm going to take that as beautiful. We're ready to move on. I'm going to ask everyone to do something, and it doesn't matter if you're just on audio, you can still do it. As long as you can clear your both hands, if you could clear your both hands for a second, I'm going to ask you to take your right hand and place your right hand on your left ear. And take your left hand, this is kind of silly, and put it on your nose. So you have your right hand on your left ear and your left hand on your nose, and you're going to clap and then switch hands. So your right hand winds up on the left ear, your left hand winds up on your nose. How'd that go for you? Ready? 1, 2, 3, clap and switch.
Which is which?
That was just for fun. That's just for fun. Right now, wait a second. It wasn't just for fun. Most people can't do that. You couldn't do it. Nobody in the course of me doing this, and I have done this hundreds of thousands, maybe thousands. I've done it hundreds of times with thousands of people. I have yet once to see anyone who grabbed both of their ears, who lost their nose completely. I have yet to see anyone do this and get upset. No one gets upset that they can't do this stupid trick. And that's my point. The same with your spiritual life. People who are more spiritually fit have more compassion towards themselves and others. People who are more spiritually fit have a way of looking at their own shortcomings and failings with a sense of humor. And I'm going to ask you to do, if you wanted to be better at doing, oh, hi, Dawn Buth. Oh, hey, Kathleen, glad you thought that was funny. If you wanted to be able to do this, moving your hands back and forth, let's say you wanted to do it for whatever reason it was you wanted to learn how to move your right hand from your left ear and your left hand from your nose. If you wanted to learn how to do that, how would you do it? There's one word, and I know you're all thinking the same word than I am.
Practice.
Exactly. Practice. If you wanted to do this, how would you do it? practice. If you wanted to get less angry, if you wanted to have more joy, if you wanted to have less hate, how are you going to do it?
Practice.
Yeah. And it astounds me and breaks my heart how many people have to practice being kind to themselves and to practice being kind to others. But I promise you that you can do it. And the rewards of doing it are great. The downsides of doing it are also great. I don't want it to sound like this is a panacea and everything's going to be wonderful. There's downsides to not getting angry. The downside to not getting angry is you lose the joy of blah. There's something really cathartic about letting go. Go ahead, Emily. You were saying something.
And of being right.
Right, correct. There's something really joyous about saying, this is right, and I'm going to go to the wall for it. And I'm right about this. Say it again, Emily.
I love being right.
We all love being right. And this goes to something that if one of the more popular videos that I did, it was called My Advice to My Niece Ellery. And in it, I talked to her. I talk about a moment I had with her where I asked her, Ellery, would you rather be right or would you rather be happy? And Alex, what do you got, my friend?
I was going to say that there is an absolutely exquisite joy in being able to say, I told you so.
Oh, it's delicious.
Yeah,
it's delicious. And oh, hi, Sylvia Lizak, who just joined. And it's delicious to be able to say, I told you so. But I can tell you from having been a high school teacher and being a parent now, nobody learns in shame. And for me to tell my children, you know, I told you that was going to happen, all that does is it shames them. I can't do that anymore. If I'm going to take the higher route to be more spiritual, and to be more compassionate towards myself and other, I have to lose the joy you were talking about, Emily, about being angry. And I have to lose the joy you're talking about, Alex, of saying, I told you so. Yes, I'll gain inner peace, but am I willing to? Wonderful, wonderful. I want to talk about this second part of today's topic of priorities. But first, Sylvia said hi back. Hi. I want to take a moment right now before we talk about priorities in religion. I want to take a moment to thank you. This has been Rabbi Brian's Garden Season 1. This is the 8th episode. If you were here for the first episode, you'll know that it's changed a lot. And what I've discovered is I can hit 2 topics in 25, 30 minutes, which is wonderful. And that's all I want to do. But I didn't know that at the beginning. And I want to thank you for sticking with me and for listening to me, because this is how things grow. It's organic, it's wonderful. So thank you for being a part of this. Priorities. I started at the beginning by showing these memes, these little funny bits of, you had one job to do, here's another one. It's a American flag and on it, it says made in China. All of these little funny things of, you had one job to do. It's the image of a school, they did a Snickers ad once where a guy had just finished painting the end zone in a football field. And he said, well, that's wonderful, but who are the chefs? Because he left out the I in Chiefs. And that you had one job to do. And here's what I want you to think about. If there were a cosmic grading scale, it's just a thought exercise. If there were, and I don't believe that there's a God who serves as a vice principal of the heavens going, oh yeah, Alex had a bacon double cheeseburger and it might have had weevils in it. I don't think of a God like that. But I want to think, what if, What is it that you do believe, if only secretly in your heart? What is it that you believe that we're being, what is that one job we have to do? And there's a story by Hafiz, it was by Rumi. So I apologize. There's a story by Rumi, and he says, it's as though a king has asked you to go into the land and perform one task. And on your route to doing that one task, you perform 99 of the most giving acts in the world, but you failed to do that one thing that the king had asked you to do. Could you consider it to be successful? And I think of it as in the end of the movie, City Slickers, where Jack Palance says, there's one thing you need to do. And he never tells Billy Crystal what that one thing is. And I think of this the same way of, there's one thing that you are being asked to do in this world. You had one job to do. I think last week I spoke about Rabbi Zuzia, and Zuzia is Z-U-Z-Y-A. People asked me afterwards because they wanted to look him up. Rabbi Zuzia was dying, and on his deathbed, he was asked, are you worried that God will judge you? And he said, I'm not worried. God will say, why were you not more like Solomon, or why were you not more like Moses? Zuzia says, I'm worried that God will say, why were you not more like Zuzia? What is the one thing that you are being called to do? What is the one thing we are called to do? Is it that you believe that God has commanded you to keep the Sabbath every week? And if so, you better do that. Is the one thing that you believe that you are supposed to do in this world to love other people and to love yourself? If so, you better do that. Is the one thing you were asked to do in this world to make as much money as possible? If so, you better do that. Is the one thing you've been asked to do reflect the light and love? I don't know what that one thing is for you, but I hope that you continue to do towards it. And I think it ties us back in towards spiritual fitness, is that we need to do these things so we can be more spiritually fit to do these, to become more who we are meant to be, so we can accomplish that one task. Well, we didn't have a chance to ask the rabbi. I did, in a roundabout way, get to the question that Alex had emailed me in. But I am done 8 episodes of Rabbi Brian's Garden. I thank you for joining me. This has been quite a pleasure. If you haven't gone to rotb.org, I have no idea how you found this podcast or this video, but please go to rotb.org, look up Religion Outside the Box, and see if you can't be of support. Rabbi Brian here in post-production. Thanks so much for watching, and make sure to listen in on the Resistance Bible Study podcast.
The Resistance Bible Study.
The Resistance, the Resistance Bible Study podcast.
Join me. Engage. Resist.
If you want a little wisdom, listen to Rabbi Brian. Rabbi Brian.